Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. BLM, riots and loots in Philadelphia. Anarcho-tyranny. It's what we're living through. Then Donald Trump Jr. joins us to talk about one of the most outrageous court rulings out of New York. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. If you get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, that is tpusa.com, I encourage you to start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com and become a member, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab to listen to our show advertiser free. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Breaking the last 24 hours, we are seeing massive looting, chaos, and discord in the streets of Philadelphia. This is happening because of some recent news that a police officer was let off by a judge for a very, very controversial situation that happened 6 months ago. Now, you see this looting. It is happening all over the streets of Philadelphia. Now, we're told by our leaders the greatest threat to our civilization is white nationalism and white supremacy. So here's a little bit of a piece of tape. Play cut 111. Look at all these white nationalists looting stores last night in Philadelphia. Play cut 111.
Everybody must eat! Yes! Everybody must eat! Everybody must eat!
That's what I'm talking about.
Russell, Eddie! Russell, Eddie!
Uh-oh, look, here come more people. Let's go. Let's go.
Those pesky white nationalists always getting in the way. She's cheering it on. And this is not some isolated incident. They started looting liquor stores, Foot Locker, the Apple store. Because obviously, when you're upset about a police shooting, which again, they are completely misunderstanding the facts. It's completely justified. It was a heated situation. Cops have a very, very hard job. And this person was committing crimes. But of course, the BLM base of Philadelphia, they look for an excuse to loot, to steal, to create anarchy in the streets. Now, it's not a question of whether or not our leaders can stop this. We could stop all of this immediately. We don't want to stop it. Understand that the goal is temporary and strategic chaos, which will eventually be followed by a true police state. They want to have a national federal police force come in eventually, a national woke police force. Now, remember, after January 6th, we hunted down, we being the federal government, hunted down every single person, tracked across the country, a dragnet unlike anything we've ever seen, for old women that were waving flags, people that waltzed on the Capitol steps, and it's actually ongoing. Of course, we could find every single one of the hoodlums and the thugs that are going and stealing merchandise from Apple and Foot Locker. But we don't, because no one wants to be called a racist. It's just black America, you know, blowing off some steam. Nah, just whatever. Just let it be. It's very obvious. They just want free stuff. They don't want to work for it. So they just go and steal stuff. The academics say, well, there's a lot more at play here. You know, there's systemic injustice and they're growing up in poverty. It's all a bunch of trash. It's a bunch of nonsense. These are criminals. They should all be arrested, put at least a decade in prison, period. But we don't have the willingness to do that. We have the willingness to go after conservatives, alternate electors in Michigan, like Rose Rook, from Paw Paw, Michigan, who signed a piece of paper. The Michigan Attorney General is excited to go after her. People waving flags that are on fixed incomes that on January 6th were peacefully petitioning their government. Boom, Gestapo. Federal government comes after you with the full force imaginable. But in the streets of Philadelphia, it's the Wild West. This could be best described by a series of essays written by Sam Francis in Chronicles magazine all the way back in the 1990s. I'm going to read this one paragraph. It's incredible. It's as if he wrote it yesterday. In the United States today, the government performs many of its functions more or less effectively. The mail is delivered sometimes. The population, or at least part of it, is counted, sort of. And the taxes are collected. You bet. You can accuse the federal Leviathan of many things: corruption, incompetence, waste, bureaucratic strangulation. But mere anarchy, the lack of effective government, is not one of them. Yet at the exact same time, the state does not perform effectively or justly its basic duty of enforcing order and punishing criminals. And in this respect, its failures to do so bring the country or parts of it close to a state of anarchy. It's exactly what we're seeing on the border. But that semblance of anarchy is coupled with many of the characteristics of tyranny, under which innocent and law-abiding citizens are punished by the state or suffer gross violations of their rights and liberty at the hands of the state. The result is what seems to be the first society in history in which elements of both anarchy and tyranny pertain at the same time and seem to be closely connected with one another and to constitute more or less opposite sides of the same coin. Boy, is that a powerful paragraph written by Sam Francis. That was written 25 years ago. It's as if he was just writing it today. So our politicians do not want to speak out against the massive looting because they don't want to be called a racist. It's just BLM being BLM, blowing off some steam. You know that Target, we are no fans of Target, but Target has now closed 9 department stores because they said their anti-theft measures were unsuccessful. Now understand, in most police states, at least the streets are safe. In most police states, they don't put up with looting. This is new territory where the police state is nakedly political against anyone that speaks out against the regime. But BLM is helpful to the regime. Same thing with the border. If we wanted to secure the border, we absolutely could. If we wanted to stop the looting, we absolutely could. But our leaders are unwilling to do that. And this goes to show the power, the absolute impact that the R word has on our entire society. I said this previously. We posted an Instagram video that said this. There is black privilege in America, not white privilege. They disproportionately are on TV commercials. Blacks get into colleges despite having lower standards. The R word, of course, is being afraid of being called a racist. They have weaponized the R word to not even allow us to enforce our laws. If this video in cut 111 of what we saw here, and I'll play another one, was a bunch of MAGA hat wearing Christians, they would all be arrested and face decades in prison. What they have been able to design in society is certain groups get special privileges. They get certain preference. They look at this as their form of reparations. I'm just asking for a friend. Was there a single white person that was looting these stores? I'm just wondering, was there? It's because we've created a set of laws, a set of enforcement of laws and cultural standards where urban black America, they feel as if they are untouchable and they're right. None of those people are likely going to be arrested. None of those people are going to be tracked down. None of those people are going to be held accountable. They are actually above the law. But you out there, if you are a Christian, a conservative living in rural America, well, then they're going to find you. Now, some people say, but Charlie, there were 20 arrests last night. Well, if history is any guide, they'll be let off and be paid reparations by the city council. You know what happened in New York recently and in Portland and other cities, the BLM rioters and looters that were arrested during Floydapalooza were actually paid cash as an apology that they were ever arrested at all. The city of Denver agreed to pay $4.7 million to 300 BLM rioters. Philadelphia paid out more than $9 million. New York is doling out more than $13 million. Overall, more than $80 million is being paid out to BLM rioters. They burned our police stations, looted our stores, and now they're looting our public coffers. We have subsidized criminality, and therefore you get more of it. And it's only going to continue because they're trying to create a state of absolute chaos that then can grow the federal government, the Leviathan, and give them more control over our society. Fidelity Charitable released its latest giving report. According to the report, its account holders in 2022 recommended $11 billion to nonprofits in the mix, Planned Parenthood. In fact, according to the report, Planned Parenthood was just the sixth most popular nonprofit among Fidelity Charitable account holders last year. Does that upset you? Well, it upsets me too. Open a giving account with an organization that shares your values. Visit DonorsTrust.org/Charlie to learn more about Donors Trust. That's DonorsTrust.org/Charlie to discover how you can partner with a giving account provider that shares your values. I love Donors Trust. I encourage you guys to look at it right now. They're excellent. DonorsTrust.org/Charlie. Those white nationalists at it again. White supremacy is such a big threat to America. I don't know what to tell you. Chaos is part of the plan. It is by design. They use ideological movements like BLM and these hyper-academic journals for catch and release at the border in our cities. Of course, white liberals will never be impacted by this. They won't. White liberals will never be impacted by the looting, the murder. Who will be impacted is working class Hispanics and blacks, but they're expendable in the eyes of white liberals. The white liberals in Highland Park, Illinois, and Highland Park, Dallas, Texas. They support a set of policies that will never impact their life. And black police officers, they know the truth, but they are being muzzled, many of whom are resigning because they're exhausted. Listen to this. This is back from the spring. Cut 115, police chief in D.C., telling the truth about crime in America. Robert J. Conti III, chief of D.C. Metropolitan Police. But of course, he was muzzled and retired in May. Probably quietly just said, hey, you know, take an early retirement. And who can blame him? He's surrounded by a bunch of criminal sympathizers in City Hall. Play cut 115.
Guns off the street. What we got to do, if we really want to see homicides go down, is keep bad guys with guns in jail, because when they're in jail, they can't be in community shooting people. So when people talk about what we're going to do different or what we should do different, what we need to do different, that's the thing that we need to do different. We need to keep violent people in jail. Right now, the average homicide suspect has been arrested 11 times prior to them committing a homicide. That is a problem. That is a problem.
A tech entrepreneur recently tried to run her company from Baltimore. Her reward was being murdered by a random black criminal. Police had a suspect almost immediately, a man sentenced to 30 years in 2011 for rape and multiple other felonies, but who was released in 2022 after just serving one third of his sentence. He was already wanted for other crimes at the time of the killing. This is a tech CEO. The Baltimore mayor says there's no way in hell he should have been out on the street, but he was. Why? Because the left is obsessed with keeping dangerous criminals on the street to terrorize the public. Can we put that, please, up? So this is a young lady. What was her name? She was on the 30 under 30 list. I'm on the 30 under 30 list, too, from Forbes. A young white CEO. She's a BLM supporter. She was really sad. I don't rejoice in that. She got killed by her own poisonous ideology. Her name is Pava Marie LaPere. That's a French name. It's really sad. And she was 26-year-old tech CEO. And yeah, so she So yeah, she was a BLM supporter. She advocated for her own death unintentionally. It's really sad. She said, "EcoMap technology stands against systemic racism, bigotry, and a police state that criminalizes black bodies." Well, a black body murdered you. "We stand in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, now and always. We commit to being anti-racist in all aspects of what we do, from the team members we hire to the customers we serve. We are proud to have a team of over 30% black, and we commit to improving diverse representation in our company. In addition to donations, we'll commit our community service hours to organizations that promote and support black entrepreneurship. We're a small and young company, and we're still committing to take action. We encourage all other startups to speak out and do the same." And then she was murdered by the very same group that she was trying to pander to. Now, these are white liberals, right? Happens, unfortunately, more times than you might believe. Remember that video in Georgia where the guy called the police on the black homeless guy? And then he said, "Please, please, please, I don't want him arrested." And it's a tragic story out of Baltimore. Unlike the left, I'm not obviously celebrating. It's so sad. Someone should have told this young white girl, like, "Hey, you know, BLM is basically a terrorist organization movement that justifies raping and murdering, and they might actually hunt you down eventually." But she's so blinded by her white guilt ideology that she ended up getting murdered by the very same ideology that she supported. One example of many. It's tragic. It's not funny. It's not, "Oh, look at that hip-hop." It's tragic. And there are so many white liberals that are now suffering under that. And we're seeing the looting and the burning of our cities. "EcoMap technology stands against systemic racism, bigotry, and a police state that criminalizes black bodies." Now, obviously, BLM doesn't openly advocate for raping, but they do advocate for getting rapists out of jail quicker, as evidenced by this thug that killed a white liberal who she thought, "We're going to be allies with black America." Really messed up. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. Joining us now is Donald Trump Jr. Don, thanks for taking the time. You and I were texting last night. This is an outrageous ruling. Letitia James just appoints a judge, not even a jury, who comes in and tries to basically close down all the Trump businesses. Don, take as much time as you need and walk us through it. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, honestly, Charlie, you know, I've been in real estate for a long time. I've never seen anything even like it. I mean, this is sort of like the start of the Bolshevik Revolution. Right? We don't like you. So we're going to confiscate property. We're going to do these things. We're going to throw numbers and valuations on things based on, you know, what a judge in New York thinks. Disregarding, by the way, Charlie, disregarding like the biggest brokers in like Florida and the Palm Beach market. We're not going to take what they say. We're going to put a number on it. So you can take Mar-a-Lago and say, you overstated the value of it. We think it's worth $18 million. Mar-a-Lago's 20 acres. You've been there. It's a pretty spectacular place, probably one of the finest homes anywhere in the world. And there's a lot within half a mile that's 2.2 acres, not on the ocean with nothing on it, just jungle. It's on the market for $150 million, but Mar-a-Lago's worth 18. We're going to go to summary judgment, Charlie. We don't want a jury to be involved in that because, you know, that doesn't fulfill the narrative. We're going to disregard expert testimony. We're going to disregard the witness. We're going to bring Don Jr. and Eric Trump into it, even though all of the witnesses who have testified said, hey, we had nothing to do with the statement of financial condition, but hey, our last name is Trump, so we have to be punished. It's the opposite of Hunter Biden, who can take millions from China and be doing this. We can conduct regular business where not a single bank wasn't paid back in full and with interest, and yet somehow there's still magically a victim here. No one knows who it is. No one can actually explain that, but this is the tyranny that's going on. You have a judge, frankly, Charlie, that took what the attorney general in New York, who campaigned on a campaign of, I'm going to get Trump, I'm going to make the MF, you know, pay all these kind of crazy things before she was ever in office, he actually gave her significantly more than she was even trying to get on his own volition. Again, bypassing a jury, bypassing the basics, and again, total disregard for the experts or anything that's in there. It's absolute lunacy. And again, going through it last night with the, I'm like, explain it to me, because I don't even understand. I've never even heard of this before in business, in law, in lawsuits. It's like they're trying novel ideas because they know they can get away with it in a place like New York.
Yes.
It's no different than what you see going on for the J6ers in Washington, D.C. You know they can't get a fair trial. Everyone understands that, which is why those venues are going to be pushed. It's why they tried getting Trump with a D.C. grand jury for stuff in Florida. It's the same in Atlanta. It never ends. They're weaponizing this under the guise of course you can get a fair trial. We're going to believe that a person in New York is going to tell us everything, that they're going to be fair. Just the social pressure alone for someone, even if they probably realized that it's all nonsense on that jury, they wouldn't be able to walk the streets of New York if they're the one that said, hey, this is nonsense, this is unfair. It's designed to continue and persecute their political enemies, because Trump had the gall of taking on the establishment and actually winning.
That's right. And Don, I just want to go through the facts here. And I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Palm Beach, as you well know. I've raised a lot of money in Palm Beach, Don, right? And, you know, it's kind of a running joke that if you get a shed on the island, right, on one of the streets, you know, Jungle, El Brio or whatever, like a little shack, it's a $30 million shack. I mean, that's not an exaggeration, right? I mean, it is, let's just say, there's funny money valuations in Palm Beach. And so this judge says that Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 to $30 million. I guess the only benefit is that, you know, your father's real estate bill, a tax bill, property tax bill is going down big time. That's a minimum multi-billion dollar property. I mean, it's well known, this is not private, that Ken Griffin bought like $400 million of lots right next to Mar-a-Lago, right next to the Bath and Tennis Club for $400 million. And Mar-a-Lago's like triple the size of that. I mean, where does this judge get off? He calls himself Mr. Zillow, you know, valuing properties. I don't understand.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, ignoring Larry Mowens, who does all of the large transactions.
Yes,
I believe he put together the Ken Griffin lots.
I know him. That's right.
You know, they just can ignore it entirely just because that doesn't get you to the narrative that you want. Again, they're saying they defrauded the banks. Well, please, like, name a bank, Charlie, that's been defrauded. Deutsche Bank got paid back in full with interest. They're, you know, probably pushing a $1 trillion company. Any one of your listeners who ever got a home loan, did you not get an independent appraisal? I believe you did. You paid for it.
You think that a
bank,
yes,
financing hundreds of millions of dollars, they're not doing the same thing? Of course they are. They're pretending like that Deutsche Bank is some sort of, you know, babe in the woods, or one of the other major banks out there is a babe in the woods. They didn't do any diligence on their own, even though, by the way, Charlie, there's sworn testimony from the executives who handled the loans that, of course, they do their own independent appraisal. Of course, you know, they understand that there's disclaimer language written on all of these financial statements, et cetera, et cetera. It never ends. So they're cherry picking it. When I did my testimony, Charlie, in front of the attorney general, on this case, they would talk about, say, Trump Doral. It's a golf course. It's a couple hundred acres in Miami.
Right near the airport. It's a beautiful property.
Yes. They have a binder. You've been there. Yeah. I mean, they have a binder that's 4 inches thick of questions they were going to ask me in 12 hours of testimony. And it was, well, our expert says that Doral is only worth X because this is the number of rounds of golf played. And this is how much you charge for rounds of golf. And I'm like, okay, so what's your point? Well, it can only be worth that. I would go, well, what do you think? I don't know, like 600 acres of developable land is worth in Miami. Like, it's not just a golf course. It could also be condos. It could be home. You just saw them. They took the binder, like, okay, next line of questioning. They didn't even understand the basics of how a valuation would work. But the second they were like, oh, God, that guy's shooting holes through my thing, let's put it off to the side and we'll start questioning on some other asinine thing. So they're not even trying to work within the realms of reality of real estate. And by the way, if this is the precedent, God forbid you own real estate in New York, because they could go in there, they could confiscate all of your real estate, they could shut down your businesses, they're trying to say, theoretically, if you read the thing, if I own my cabin upstate in an LLC, because that's a corporation, I that's just voided. So I don't know who owns, you know, my cabin that's paid for in full and whatever it is. If you had loan documents, if you had a loan or a mortgage on that apartment, theoretically, you'd automatically be in default of those mortgages because the entity that it's making the loan no longer or is taking the loan no longer exists. So it's continued lawfare. They're trying to destroy you. They're not trying to be reasonable. They're trying to destroy you through any ways possible. And if there's a component of that that doesn't work for their narrative, they're just going to ignore that. And they know that they can have a judge that will not just do the bidding of Letitia James and the lunacy that you've seen probably 1,000 times, her campaign videos and this, but who actually took what they did and gave them actually more than they were asking for on his own volition to try to punish Trump. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before in, you know, 25 years of doing real estate. It's truly mind-boggling.
But yeah, they're also saying Trump, your father, did the valuations. Don't you have independent assessors? I mean, this is what I understand.
Of course you do. And that's the point. So you gave a valuation, but each one of the people who are on the other side of the transaction are on the record saying, of course we do our own of course we do our own valuations. Of course we do this. When you get a loan, you pay for the appraisal for the bank. So the bank, you know, that's an independent third party appraiser. So they're doing all of these things on their own. They're going through various committees to make sure that everything's right. They don't just say, oh, you said something, you know, the tic tac, you know, on the floor, that's worth $100 million. Oh, here's $100 million. Like, they don't do that. These are big boys. You know, and they're doing this under the guise that they're pretending they're not. It's truly outstanding. I've never seen anything like it. But if you're a real estate owner in New York, based on this, you have a lot to worry about, especially since they don't understand the difference between, you know, assessment based on taxes and actual valuation. It's pretty scary.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, so this is a judge that can come in and say that there was an overvaluation of assets. But also, Don, you know this, that depending on the market, depending on the season, depending on the quarter, depending on the month, depending on the day, valuations are awfully – they fluctuate by the hour when it comes to real estate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in real estate, Charlie, you know, it's also, you know, sort of beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? Like,
yes.
Someone may need something or want something. They may overpay drastically for something. You know, there are things – in the statement of financial condition where we literally sold the assets for significantly, like hundreds of millions of dollars, more than they were valued on that statement of financial condition. They don't give you credit for that because something changed in the market. It made it go more, it made it go whatever it may be. This changes, you're right, on an hourly basis or based on demand or someone looking, you know, someone's doing a 1031 exchange. They can save taxes. So they'll overpay for something now to be able to not have to pay tax on it then. You know, there are so many variables or nuances that can go into this that some judge at some point in time can just say, this is the value. That's it. Summary judgment. No jury. I'm going to decide that. I'm going to disregard all the experts. I'm going to take, this is what the judge essentially did. I'm going to take literally everything the attorney general said and just say, that is the gospel. That is fact. There's no disputing that at this point. Case closed. That's literally what happened.
But who's the victim? All the loans were paid off. Who's the victim? It's like this new thing where we create a crime and there is no victim. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. Don, so tell us, usually when there's a fraud case, there's a victim. Who here is the victim in this case?
I'm actually trying to figure that one out myself, Charlie. The judge says the free market somehow the victim, even though, you know, the biggest institutions in the world were paid back. No one was left out any money. They actually got paid with interest. So they all made a sizable profit. It makes no sense. But that's the point. They're trying to weaponize the justice system against their political enemies. Not only are they doing it to Trump, Charlie, they're trying to make sure and send a clear message that you can never step up against their insanity, no matter how ludicrous it is. Remember, you know, the people that are robbing Philadelphia blind, the people that are causing the major retail outlets in cities across America to shut down because of rampant looting, stealing, theft. You know, we're not going to go after those people. They're doing it in the name of social justice, you know, because a Gucci purse really screams social justice. So you should go steal one. It's absolutely insane where the Democrat Party today is spending their resources, but they're getting away with it. I mean, you know, the Biden DOJ is functioning as his de facto attack dog, as well as his defense agency for some of the most outlandish fraud we've ever seen in this country. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, when people who, if Trump said Merry Christmas during the Trump presidency, you know, Bob Woodward, it's bigger than Watergate, that he would, all these, you know, bigger than Watergate, everything was bigger than Watergate. All those people are strangely silent that this stuff's going on. You know, Hunter Biden, a crackhead, is making millions from China because, you know, obviously they have some sort of diversity, equity, and inclusion program. They need to diversify their portfolio of managers by diversifying into crackheads. Crackheads are greatly underrepresented, apparently, in Chinese portfolio management, Charlie. So they're going to give $1 billion to Hunter Biden. It had nothing to do with influence. That's totally normal. This is what's going on in our country. And of course, the second another wire drops to Hunter from China that happens to have Joe Biden's home address on the bank receipts, they drop another, you know, another charge and another claim against Trump. And it's another story to distract from what's really going on with the supposed leader of the free world.
We learned yesterday, we haven't covered this yet, a $250,000 wire, which was the address, they said the due to address was to Joe Biden's home address. Let's just imagine Donald Trump, President Trump, gets a $250,000 wire and the address was Mar-a-Lago from a foreign government. Don, how do you think the media would cover that?
We'd be in Gitmo. And by the way, rightfully so. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, we got senators taking gold bars and we got, I mean, you know, I love seeing the media outrage about Bob Menendez, but no one's talking about what Hunter and Joe Biden did together is literally perhaps hundreds of times the same thing with undue influence 100,000 times more than whatever Bob Menendez could do, even from a powerful position. And yet they're silent about that because they understand there's systematic corruption in our government in the Washington, D.C. swamp. That's why they're all trying to get Trump, because he's the only guy that'll actually expose these things. You know, I was going to go out to the debates tonight and, you know, talk about it and counter, like, I'm saying, like, at this point, with when we see what's going on, when we see how, like, I'm not even going to pay any attention to it because that aspect is over to me. I mean, the billionaire donor class, I get that. The big, you know, Fox News of the world, they still want to choose their candidate to do their bidding for them eventually and make them billions. But I think the American people understand that this thing's over. And they also understand, Charlie, what is at stake. If they can do this to Trump, they can do it to anyone. But more importantly, if they will do it to Trump, who won't they do it to? If they can do it with a guy with means, following a soapbox like you've never seen before, I mean, they'll destroy everyone. And I think that's the message they're trying to send.
That's exactly right. And look, I wish, you know, I got some friends debating Vivek's a good guy. There's like opposite of buzz heading into the thing tonight. Like I see no chatter. By the way, I'm hearing more buzz. Your father's going to the UAW circuit tonight. That's really exciting.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be great. I mean, these are people that voted for Trump. You know, these are Trump voters. And what's interesting, and I mean, it's sort of indicative of sort of the D.C. swamp itself is, you know, the head of the UAW, the union guys, right? Not the workers, not the, like the difference between FBI leadership and FBI door kickers. You know, the door kickers are for Trump. They're conservatives. They're this, just like the workers are for Trump. But union leadership will take their dues. They'll fund the Biden administration. They'll give it to Democrats while shipping their jobs abroad for electric vehicle plants in China. And the union dues, the actual workers are paying for their ultimate demise. When they try to turn away Trump, who's taking the side of the auto workers, they say, we don't want him there. He's not part of that. I'm like, so one of the biggest guys in the world, of the populist movement of working class America. You don't want that because you're so tied in with the Democrat Party and Democrat leadership that you're going to continue to underrepresent your people and push them away. That's the kind of representation we're getting out of D.C., and that's the kind of representation, unfortunately, those workers are getting from their leaders.
Yep. Don Jr., thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.